From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on This Day in Maine, Thursday, January 30th, 2025.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
The arrest of an 18-year-old asylum seeker from Massachusetts who is now being held at the Cumberland County Jail in Portland has raised questions about how the Trump administration's immigration crackdown is playing out in Maine. Zenaida Barrera was arrested by local police in Lynn, Massachusetts, early Monday morning. Her court-appointed lawyer says neighbors heard an argument between her and her younger brother, reportedly over a cell phone, and called the police. Barrera was charged with a misdemeanor assault. Attorney Patrick Callahan says the incident was minor, the kind of fight that siblings might often have. She has no criminal record and has never been arrested. The local district attorney agrees that Barrera should be allowed to enroll in a youth diversion program. A judge in Massachusetts then ordered her release. Callahan says Barrera was preparing to sit in the audience of the courtroom to speak with someone from the diversion program. Officers took her to the lockup area of the courthouse and
she was then taken into custody immediately by ICE agents who were there waiting with a detainer for her.
Because defendants in immigration court are not entitled to an attorney, Callahan says he's advised the Barrera family to seek the services of an immigration lawyer. And Callahan says he hopes that someone takes a closer look at the case, which he described as a great miscarriage of justice.
I mean, she was here. She had legal status. She had a work permit. She was a high school student at Lynn English High School. She was working when she wasn't in school. She was doing everything the right way. And a snap between siblings is not something that should get you held in custody, being held without any sort of bond.
Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, did not return a request for comment about this case. And Callahan says he's not sure exactly why Barrera was booked at the Cumberland County Jail. He says it's possible there wasn't enough space at the jail in Massachusetts, where people in federal custody are often held. But in the past, the Cumberland County Jail has received people in ICE custody from other New England states. Barrera's arrest comes at a time of heightened attention and fear around immigration enforcement amid the Trump administration's national crackdown. Here to give us some context is Maine Public's Ari Snyder. So, Ari, we've seen a lot of news recently about immigration raids in New York, Chicago, elsewhere. Are we seeing more immigration enforcement in Maine?
In short, no. At least that's what I'm hearing from immigration attorneys in Maine. I spoke with Anna Welch. She's the director of the Refugee and Human Rights Clinic at the University of Maine Law School. Here's what she had to say.
We have not seen an increase in terms of large numbers of arrests. I don't even know if there's any substantial difference from when Biden was in office till now.
But Welch was quick to say that just because we haven't seen an increase in arrests yet, that doesn't mean we won't see an increase at some point. Of course, the agency best positioned to answer this question would be Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. I've reached out to the ICE office in Scarborough multiple times, and they have always referred me to a media email address that I have yet to hear back from.
Okay, so when it comes to people like Zenaida Barrera being held in ICE custody at the Cumberland County Jail, what exactly is going on there?
So it is also not out of the ordinary to see people in federal immigration custody being held at the jail. Sheriff Kevin Joyce told me that's been happening since the jail was built in 1992. The question is, are we seeing an increase? Sheriff Joyce says, as of Thursday, the jail was holding 58 people in ICE custody. That's 5 more than they were holding the day before Trump was sworn in. Joyce says the numbers have ticked up more noticeably since December, but of course, Joe Biden was still president at that point. Also, some of the people being held at the jail for ICE were not arrested in Maine, including the teenager from Massachusetts you mentioned earlier. Joyce says that's also not out of the ordinary, but he says he told ICE that there's limited capacity at the jail for people in federal custody.
You know, if you do a major roundup, you better check and see if we have beds, because I'm not opening another pod just to you know, take care of that because I have to look out for my staff as well.
So for now, it seems like we have not seen a spike in ICE arrests in Maine, but there's still a lot of fear in immigrant communities, right?
Absolutely. Anna Welch at Maine Law says the Trump administration's, quote, shock and awe approach to immigration policy nationally has left many people in Maine very, very fearful, to the point that some are afraid to send their children to school. And she says that's intentional.
And that's the goal, right, of this administration is to create fear among our immigrant communities. And I think it's understandable that folks are very fearful.
At the same time, social media has been flooded with unverified or unconfirmed reports of ICE activity around Maine since Trump took office. I followed up on a few of these reports recently that ICE was at schools or community colleges, and in each case, there was nothing there. Welch says that those unverified reports actually add to the panic.
And so before spreading some of those, that information, make sure that you know the source of it and you have the accurate information because it's causing a lot of harm currently to our communities.
So to summarize, from what we're seeing so far, there has not been a noticeable increase in immigration arrests in Maine since Trump took office. But of course, immigration policy is changing really quickly, and it's only the second week of the Trump administration. So we will continue to keep a close eye on all of this.
Maine Public's Ari Snyder, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Maine students last year had the lowest average math and reading scores in nearly three decades, according to the National Assessment of Educational Progress, also known as the nation's report card. Maddie Smith has more.
Student scores across the country saw large declines in 2022. But Maine is one of only 14 states where students are performing significantly below the national average. Janet Fairman, co-director for the Maine Education Policy Research Institute, says Maine's unique emphasis on localized education policy means some districts may not have access to the same resources as schools in other states.
It means that we're going to have a high level of variation in educational quality and outcomes across school districts.
A statement from the Maine Department of Education cautions against drawing any conclusions based on national data and notes that the fourth graders who took the assessment last year were in kindergarten at the height of the pandemic, making them particularly vulnerable to pandemic-related learning loss. The nation's report card is administered every 2 years to a representative sample of fourth and eighth graders. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Maddie Smith.
Advocates in Maine are calling President Trump's executive order ending federal funds for transgender care a horrific abuse of power. Bree Danvers Kidman, the executive co-director at Maine Transgender Network, says it's causing fear and confusion.
It creates a specter of misinformation where a lot of people don't necessarily know what is and is not law, and will start acting in discriminatory ways because they think that that's, you know, what you're supposed to do, when in actuality, in the state of Maine, our anti-discrimination provisions are strong and remain in effect.
The immediate implications of the order are unclear. Maine Health says it has made no changes to its transgender care services while it evaluates the order's scope and meaning. A spokesperson for Maine's Department of Health and Human Services says state law requires coverage for gender-affirming care for patients on Maine Care, which is funded with both state and federal dollars. Maine flu cases have more than doubled over the past 2 weeks to more than 1,100, according to the latest weekly surveillance report from the State Center for Disease Control. The agency says the severity level is high in York County and very high in Piscataquis County. Nearly 300 people have been hospitalized with the flu so far this season, which began in October. The state CDC has recorded 12 flu-related deaths. Maine Senator Susan Collins asked about vaccines and infectious diseases during a hearing today for Robert F. Kennedy Jr., President Trump's nominee for Secretary of Health and Human Services. Kennedy has come under blistering questioning from Democratic senators over his past statements, questioning the safety and efficacy of vaccines. Collins, a Republican, recited a quote in which Kennedy reportedly suggested that he would sideline infectious disease experts at the National Institutes of Health in favor of research on chronic diseases.
Don't we need to do both? Don't
Yes, absolutely, Senator. The problem is there's been an imbalance.
Kennedy also told Collins that vaccination rates are dropping because the public distrusts the government. But opponents of Kennedy have accused him of fanning that distrust and ignoring overwhelming scientific consensus on vaccines. Collins is viewed as a swing vote on RFK Jr.'s nomination. Maine Senators Angus King and Susan Collins also pressed President Trump's pick for intelligence chief about her position on Edward Snowden, the federal contractor who leaked thousands of pages of classified documents. Kevin Miller reports.
Former Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard was questioned by multiple senators about her previous statements about Snowden, including calling him a, quote, brave whistleblower. Gabbard, a lieutenant colonel in the Army Reserve, repeatedly told members of the Senate Intelligence Committee that Snowden broke the law. But King, an independent, seemed unimpressed with that response.
But you introduced a bill in Congress, along with Congressman Matt Gaetz, to essentially pardon him. So that, he broke the law, but it wasn't all that serious? Is that what you thought in 2020?
I take very seriously upholding our Constitution and have sworn an oath to support and defend that Constitution over 8 times in my life.
In response to a question from Collins, Gabbard indicated that she would not support pardoning or offering clemency to Snowden if she were confirmed as Director of National Intelligence. But Collins, a Republican, also criticized another bill from Gabbard named the, quote, Protect the Brave Whistleblowers Act.
I strongly oppose this legislation, which would hamper our ability to prosecute people who give our adversaries classified information.
Gabbard is considered one of Trump's most vulnerable nominees. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, a look at egg farming in Maine. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.